and the mindset that Gus is going to bring to this defense. Even if you are a good player, he is going to ask you to be great, and he is going to push you and stretch you and make you uncomfortable to you get to that point. But that's what Tom Coughlin always did, is he made you so uncomfortable that being just who you were was not going to be acceptable. He was going to push you and stretch you. Now, he did it from a negative, fear. I mean,
it worked.
Tyrannical.
Listen,
is that a word, Johnny?
It sounds good. We'll go with
absolutely work.
This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, here we go. About an hour of NFL conversation. You can tell I got a little bit of a cold.
Yeah, you don't sound good.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Stay away from me. I just got over it.
I'm all the way over here. But we got lots to talk about tonight. John Osher is going to join us momentarily from the Combine. Chad Johnson, the Vice President of Ticketing and Sales. I want to make sure I get the title right. Will join us to talk a little bit about what's going on in that department. Of course, Tony and Jeff are here to take your calls, questions, and comments. How are you guys?
We're good. We show up to work. Johnny O. Actually, the studio's got it nice and roomy in here without Johnny O.
What it needs is more time for you.
Which is always good.
And more pie.
More pie. Misty made her famous pecan pie.
She did.
How much of that did you eat?
I ate quite a bit of it last night. She made two. She wanted to make one specifically for Tony. I said, can you make two? So I had to make a run to the grocery store last night to get a little extra.
Wait, you went out on his behalf?
Syrup. Yes, I did. So I contributed a little bit.
This pecan pie is...
It is good.
Now, look, you've even got him saying pecan.
I'll call it whatever Misty wants me to call it, because that right there
is good.
It's a good pie.
Just so you understand how much is gone, if you think of the pie
about,
as a clock.
About half.
From straight up midnight down to about 5:30.
I will tell you this real quick. Came out of the oven last night, put a little bit piece into a bowl, let it just kind of cool a little bit, a little ice cream.
Is there any more at home for you?
Well, I'll find out when I get home. Maybe not.
All right, folks, let's grab John Osher. Combine begins today with all of – it's so much more than just an evaluation.
What position groups, Johnny O, are there? Because it's always on a schedule, and so you have the different position groups that show up at different days. What position group are we starting off with?
First of all, hi, John. How are you tonight?
Oh, yeah, I don't really care about that.
Good, guys. I always think I'm going to miss you guys, and then I go on the air and realize I really don't. So.
Good. Yeah, feeling's mutual.
Believe me, I know. No, the first day tomorrow is offensive linemen. Yes, they sort of get that out of the way first.
Most important.
Or not.
First things first.
And then, they move on the next day's quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and you move on to the defense over the weekend. So tomorrow, big story will be the two offensive tackles at the top of the draft, Jokel and Eric Fisher.
And I thought that the tight ends, offensive linemen, special teams came in on Saturday. Did they change that schedule?
Well, they run. They run on Saturday.
Okay, the workouts are Saturday.
No workouts until Saturday.
Okay.
What I was talking about was when we interview them, and then basically what happens is everything, all of the workouts are 2 days after they meet with the media. When you guys went through, there really wasn't a media day.
Right.
But now they have the media availability on Tuesday, on Thursday through Sunday, and then the on-field workouts go actually Saturday through Tuesday. So it's sort of staggered. The stories you read often don't line up with what's going on the field. It's, just because you've got to get so much in that they stagger everything.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it now. The workout schedule that people can actually watch on the NFL Network, Saturday is your tight ends, offensive line, special teams. Sunday is the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. Monday, D-linemen, linebackers. Tuesday, defensive backs. And it has changed a lot, I'm sure, since I was there, and I'm sure it changed from when I was there to when Tony was there to where it is even today.
Because it is more intensive. Now, Jeff,
I mean, it's a TV event, and I get that, and as it should be a TV event, because it's going to get some type of rating, and that's a good thing.
And, John, you talked about the offensive line coming in, the two big tackles you mentioned, Jokel from A&M, and then Eric
Fisher.
From, is it Central Michigan?
UCM.
And then there's another guy that I know is moving up the board fast, and I'm not sure if you've heard anything yet out there, is the FSU tackle, the kid from Great Britain, actually, Melanick Watson. I know
he's kind of the third guy people are talking. I mean, there's always so much focus here because it's so much about the top 20 guys. That, you know, there's sort of the rock star version of the combine, which is all the guys doing the podium, the 20, 25 guys. And then there's the rest of the real combine, which is what all the scouts are looking at, which is trying to discern who's a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick. And that's where that's where most of the real work's getting done this week, and the conversations are about the guys we're talking about.
And so we got the schedule as far as when the workouts are. What is your schedule, Pat and JP, as far as Jaguars.com? What can people expect to see there?
Well, we'll be doing an Inside the Jaguars every day. That's when, while we sit down and talk about what's going on. Tomorrow, I'll be writing about the offensive tackles. On Friday, I imagine I'll write about quarterbacks. JP will be following a notebook each day, just sort of some odds and ends. Talking to our guys, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, Jed Fish, Bob Babich. He'll be following that each morning. And then, we'll be tweeting all day, every day. So it'll be pretty comprehensive coverage.
John, every year, big stories at the Combine. And what's the buzz early at the Combine? Obviously, always the quarterbacks. I know Matt Barkley decided not to throw. But fill us in a little bit, and everyone listening, what are some of the stories you're hearing early at the Combine?
Well, sort of the storylines are, I think the league, meaning, the draft gurus, the guys who talk about it, maybe even some of the teams involved, they'd like to see this first 10, 15 picks sort of shake out a little bit. Right now, there's really not a clue who's going to go number one. And until you know that, it's hard to project what else is going to happen. So, I think they would like to have that conversation sort of start to get a little solidified. Of course, the big key is, will a quarterback crack the top 10? Most of the analysts think there's not going to be a guy before 20, but then you usually hear that some team's going to start reaching for a quarterback because it's the most important position. Monte Teau, obviously, Saturday when he speaks to the media will be a huge...
Oh, boy.
That'll be the big soap opera story. And everything else outside of that will be football stuff. And it's really, if you're talking X's and O's, the offensive defensive lines are real strong this year. And really everything else outside of that, I don't want to say suspect, but there's not a lot of deep positions outside the two lines.
Well, I think when you look at the top prospects that are out there, I lean heavily on Mike Mayock. I think Mike Mayock is one of the best analysts. And Mel Kiper obviously talks to a lot of different people. But Mayock's made a comment earlier this week, or maybe it was the end of last week, that said that the top of the draft is not where you want to be. He said there's not much difference between the bottom of the first round and the top of the first round. Are you hearing the same thing from talking to different people?
That's the consensus, certainly among the talking heads. And that's usually a pretty good vibe because, the talking heads talk to people. So the gist is that, that's about right. Anything between about two, just to serve as an example, DeMontre Moore, the defensive end from Texas A&M. Mel Kiper projects him two. A lot of people project him two or maybe even one. Mayock comes out yesterday and says, I'm not even sure he's a top 10 guy. So there's that sort of, range. You hear some people talk about Warner from FSU being number two. You hear some people talk about him not being in the top 10. Same on the kid Mingo from LSU. So that's what I was talking about earlier with trying to figure out, sort of trying to get some idea where these guys are going to fall. Because right now, it's as wide open as I can remember it. And I've been, covering the draft at least as a newspaper reporter since 95. And I've never seen it quite like this, where you had no idea who was going to go in the top five.
Well, the one thing we know for sure, there are going to be a handful of great players come out of this draft.
And sure, always are.
And that's the job of Dave Caldwell and his staff and Gus Bradley and his staff, and whether you pick two or wherever you pick, we pick two, to go find that guy or those guys and try to get him on your team.
What about the depth? Go ahead, John.
And, Brian, I think I was going to answer your question. While everybody sort of says that it's a little murky at the top, and what that usually means when they say that is there's no rock stars. There's not the quarterback. Last year, everybody knew Luck and Griffin, and that was the theme. So everybody said, strong draft, because you've got a couple of guys you can identify with, and that's what That's what the media loves. That's what the fans love. But most of the analysts will also say it's deep. It, you're going to be able to get good players second, third, fourth, fifth round. Todd McShay last week said, hey, there might be seven quarterbacks in the second round. It's really deep. You just don't have that superstar guy. And it stands to reason if there's seven to nine of those kind of guys, one or two of those guys is going to start for an NFL team and probably be a playoff-type quarterback. So as you said, Tony, I think it's a matter of finding that guy. Is it a no-brainer like Andrew Luck was last year? No. Is there a guy out there who's going to be able to help, compete, maybe even turn into your guy? The odds are, and history tells you that there is.
What about the depth to the top of the second round? You know, I mean, one of the things that's overlooked is if the top of the first round isn't superstar, you know, there are players at the bottom of the first round, which is the top of the second round, that can really help this team, and the Jags have the first pick there.
What you've got is really deep at offensive tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle. You know, they're talking about six or seven or eight guys with possible first-round grades at those positions. Well, that usually means, you know, at one of those spots, all those guys aren't going to go in the first 32. So you're going to get guys who a lot of people believe can come in and be first-year starters, first-year pretty good players. There's going to be a handful of those guys, 33 in a 33 to 40 range. But the other side of it is when you're talking quarterbacks, you know, you might have the same dynamic with that second round pick as you would a top 10 if you're talking quarterbacks, meaning teams might get a little itchy and start taking second-round projected guys
right
in that 20 to 32, which necessitates going up and getting a guy. And that's where the intrigue is going to come in on the second day and late on Thursday night.
And here's the feeling that I'm getting. The last time the Jaguars picked two overall was 96, and they got Tony Brackens at the top of the second round.
Right.
I mean, he slid through. A good player slid through, and they were able to capture him. So if you can go into this draft and get somebody in the second round that will have that kind of an impact for you.
He ended up being a better player than the
than Kevin.
No shot against Kevin. Kevin was a very good player, a Pro Bowl player.
Was special.
But Brackens was a special player.
So, all right, John, thanks so much. Good luck, and we'll hear from you via Twitter and on the website.
Guys, look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for having me.
John Osher, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll take a break. When we come back, Senior Vice President of Sales Chad Johnson joins us here on Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. You earn points every time you post something Jaguars, and use those points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets for the Jaguars game in London. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Check them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better.
All right, rolling right along, Jaguars This Week on a Wednesday evening. We were talking football with John Osher at the Combine in Indianapolis. It's very busy up there. Most of the football folks in the league are converging on the Midwest. But it's very busy here for the Jaguars from a ticketing perspective, from a business perspective, and new Senior Vice President of Sales, Chad Johnson. Congratulations, by the way.
Hey, thanks, guys.
You've been here for what, 8, 9, 10 months?
I'm just sneaking up on a year here, about 10 months now.
Long.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's really been going by fast.
Congratulations on the move.
Thank you very much.
And you were telling us before we started that this is one of the busiest times of the year for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, yeah, even in my first 10 months here, it's been crazy, but talking to the staff and seeing the energy in the building, there's no doubt that we've taken things to a different level here, and it's really a coming together of a bunch of different initiatives, a new branding initiative. Our season ticket renewals have gone out in the mail, and we've been selling new season tickets for next year. In fact, we're selling new season tickets at a pace we haven't seen in years. And then really a new initiative we have in going out in the community and getting in front of our fans, all happening at the same time. So it's been a lot of fun
for
us.
And a big part of that is going to be the town hall meetings. Tell people what that's going to be like.
Yeah, so for the first time here, we're going out in your backyard. We're coming out in the community and saying, hey, here's a chance for you to get in front of senior leadership of the organization. Our president, Mark Lamping, will be present for all of these. We'll have senior football operations people. And it's really a chance for us to explain the new branding initiative we've gone through, to really talk through the business initiatives on ticket sales and renewals and our pricing models that we've used, and then give people a chance just to raise their hand and say, hey, I have some questions about this, and really learn from the top on down what we're doing.
You're walking a tight wire in a sense. You're opening the microphone up.
Yeah, you know, we're not hiding from anything here. And one of the things in the state of the team that Mark Lamping addressed and a lot of our fans had a chance to see is we really want to walk people through where we are and where we're going. And we're finding that once people can understand that, then they can really buy into the plans we're putting forth and putting in front of them. They'll understand the ticketing models. And they know what we want to do here with the Jaguars off the field on the business side. And it really has helped us out a lot that way.
Transparency you mentioned, which I thought that the presentation that Mark Lampen and Schott gave a couple weeks ago was about as transparent as it can get. And one of the things that they talked about in there was changing some of the seating in the stadium. Any more details on that? Because they were talking about field-level seating and other type of premium seating that will be available eventually.
Yeah, so we're working through the final details of the plans to roll out. But, yeah, for the first time here at Everbank Field, people will be actually able to sit on the field, watch the game up close. It provides a completely different perspective. You know, you learn what animals these guys can be on the field.
The speed of the
size.
Game.
The speed is so different.
And we've seen that in, what, Seattle and Dallas are the two most prominent examples of that. And those sold very well.
And we're really using their models. Yeah, they've sold very well. We're looking at how to actually take it to the next level. And one of the things you heard Mark say is our goal is to be the best at everything. So go take a model like Seattle and Dallas, put another level of resources into it, and make it the actual best in the league. And that's what we're trying to do here.
Well, you talked about how the season tickets are selling fast. Renewals are out right now. Talk about how the whole branding package is, because it's really it's a new kickoff. It's been a new era here. We've been talking about that ever since Schott became the owner. But really this offseason is kind of the total package of some of the vision that he has and for the franchise and how ticketing and the marketing and the branding all goes with it.
And you know, this is where Schott said, listen, I'm putting a stake in the ground. We're moving forward. We're turning the page with a new attitude. And that's really what the main objective here internally has been. There is a whole new attitude. And we know that David Caldwell and Gus Bradley have brought that on the football side. And this new branding has brought it on the business side right now, not only internally with staff being fired up, but people look at this and they say, you know, at first they kind of shake their head and they listen to how we describe the process. After a couple of days, like, wow, this has really grown on me. I love the look. I love how it is. I want to get my new merchandise. And there's going to be some things we're rolling out in these town hall meetings, which will tell people how they can be a part of that, how they can get the new merchandise for themselves. And that's really what's launched this whole thing.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about the new logo. And two questions. One, do you like it? And number two, people want to know, when can I get it?
Right. And we're going to roll out here probably in the next week or so, letting people know when our initial pre-sales of some of the merchandise will be. And that's really what's kickstarted this. I mean, how often in February have we been able to say we're selling new season tickets at a record pace? But it's because we're out there. We're in the news. People are seeing things. They're understanding that new direction. So probably beginning of March to about March 15th, they'll be able to start picking up new merchandise.
Well, then you're going to have momentum going into April with the draft, uniform unveiling, schedule comes out. Yeah. You've got something to carry all the way.
I mean, everything all the way through. We've put together our initiatives of getting in front of our fans right now, and it seems like we're saying, oh, man, we're full every single day.
Sure.
And doing some of the open house events and select a seat events we'll do, and time around the draft where we know it's going to be exciting. Our calendar's really booked every single day, and that's exciting news for us on the business side.
All right, so you didn't answer my question. You like the new logo,
new
cat hat.
I love it, absolutely. I think
I don't know how many times I get that question asked me on a daily basis, or what do you think about the logo?
Well, I'll tell you that seeing it now, understanding where we've come from, and that we're not forgetting our past, but we're setting a new direction here for the team, I like it. There's no doubt it's a little sleeker, it's tougher, it's got some things that will translate really well on merchandise. I'm biased because I've already seen some of the prototypes coming out, and I know how cool this really looks from a merchandising standpoint, so I know our fans will love it too.
All right, we take a break here for news at the bottom of the hour. We come back, we'll talk about London and how big that initiative is for Chad and for the Jaguars organization. News is next. Joe.
All right, Brian, you get your Jaguars rewards. Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. You get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna rolls on right after news here on Jaguars Radio. Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more info on joining the Refer Fan program, call the Jaguars ticket office 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com.
Joe thinks he's spinning FM records.
Very nice.
Go back to your DJ days.
All the hits, all the time.
London Calling. And we are going to talk about London. But before we do, real quick, Chad, you've got the events coming up starting next week. And it's not just a free-for-all. Folks have to sign up to be there, right? How do they get to be a part of these fan forums with Mark and the senior staff?
Yeah, so we've reached out to our season ticket holders and some of our fan bases in these different communities with an email. They're able to sign up online and register to hold their space. You know, space is limited at some of these venues. You can visit jaguars.com and get some information on there and hopefully sign up for yourself and a guest to attend. And they'll last a little over an hour where you'll have some time for question and answer. So we definitely encourage you, go online and reserve your space before these fill up.
And they start Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week in different areas. Monday, we're at Southside, Tuesday in Orange Park, Wednesday down in St. Augustine. The following week, we're Tuesday and Wednesday. And then we wrap it up the week after, March 12th on Tuesday.
Give those locations so people can get an idea. So, okay, hey, this is close to me.
Yeah, so Monday the 25th, we're at Southside at the Sheraton Hotel. Tuesday on February 26th, we're in Orange Park at the Thrasherhorn Conference Center. Wednesday in St. Augustine, we're at the River House. It's a beautiful location.
Yep.
Tuesday, March 5th, we're downtown here at Everbank Field. So we expect that to be a big one. Mm-hmm. A lot of fans coming out here. On Wednesday the 6th, we're at Northside at the Jacksonville Airport Hotel. That's the old Clarion Hotel there. And then Tuesday, March 12th, we're at Jacksonville Beach at the Casa Marina Hotel.
Which is a great venue.
So we're all around the Jacksonville and surrounding communities, and we'll be right in your backyard.
All right, on to London.
Yeah.
October, I mean, it seems like it's so far away, but all the planning that goes into this, it's a huge deal.
Yeah, it is. You know, we have fans. Almost every phone call we have, fans are asking us about London. What can I be a part of? How can I get tickets? How can I travel? It's really been an exciting thing for the organization, and has really helped elevate us. You know, not only in our region but internationally. So, give you an update on where we are. I guess
a lot of people are asking.
People are dying to know how they can be a part of going.
The league is telling us here that we've had as much excitement initially as any team that's gone over, and we have travel packages that include airfare, hotel transfers, hotel stays for 4 or 5 nights, including different ticket packages. We also have some land-only packages, so if you're going to use your miles and fly over there yourself, you can buy a package that just includes the hotel, the transfers, and the parties.
Yeah, because me and Tony are going to fly our own jet, so we don't need the air part.
We are.
We have one open seat on there.
I guess I'll be serving drinks.
Yeah. And then we do have some fans that just ask about tickets. Hey, I'm planning a vacation. I may do a little tour around Europe and that area. I want to make sure I can get in there and just get tickets for the game. So the easiest way right now is to go to the NFL International site, and it'll list all the different travel packages and ticket availability. We will be reaching out to our general fan base here in the next couple weeks. Our season ticket holders obviously have a great benefit with us. They get a discount on all the travel packages. The Jaguars are providing a $250 discount on each travel package, and they've had an opportunity to reserve some seats in advance for the game itself.
So if you plan on being a season ticket holder and you want to go to London, do it now. I mean, don't wait to buy your season ticket, because there's opportunities for London and discounts.
Absolutely.
And a lot of packages if you are a season ticket holder.
We have people that have called for London specifically. They've turned into season ticket holders before the end of the phone call. And if you're looking at bringing your family of four over, that's $1,000 savings right there. So a lot of our fans have jumped on board just because of that.
You know, this is a 4-year program in London right now. If Jaguars fans show well this year, will there be more seats available in year two, year three, year four? Or does the league so control that?
Well, you know, the league is our partner in this now. So there's definitely a different relationship than in years past where it's just one game. So they very much watch how we're doing and work with us when we need extra tickets. We've had some fans with special needs, and it's as simple as picking up the phone, letting them know what those needs are, and the league has been able to accommodate. So they've been great partners in this.
Well, they need to be. I mean, the league doesn't exist without the members.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're right.
Sometimes you got to refresh the league office of that.
You're right. Over there, it's a little different in dealing with a different stadium that you're traditionally not a part of or have the great relationship with. But they have been good partners. They know the value, and this is an important initiative for them to have one team coming over there multiple years in a row and see what type of fan support they can generate in the community.
You know, Jeff and I both worked NFL Europe back in the day for Fox Sports over, on the continent. And so we've seen this to a smaller degree, but you haven't been to the London game, neither have I.
I haven't.
Tony, you haven't either.
I was in Berlin and Amsterdam, but the amazing thing to me was the support by the German football fans.
It was huge.
Unbelievable.
So have you been over to one of these games?
I haven't been myself.
What are you hearing about the overall acceptance? One of the things that we heard because we've talked about it, over there, they knew that that was not the NFL. I mean, they knew it was a lower level of competition.
Right.
So I'm real curious to see how London embraces firsthand how they embrace the real deal.
I've talked to a lot of colleagues, you know, and initially they started doing some preseason games, and the fans caught on that same way.
Yeah,
hey,
it's the same thing.
It's NFL football where it's not the same. Then they started bringing the regular season games. From what I hear and understand, these events they host on the Saturday before and the Friday before have turned into very much Super Bowl-like atmospheres there. And, you know, tens and tens of thousands of people at these parties and tailgate events and kickoffs, and everybody in different jerseys that they're wearing and supporting their team. So for us, this is a chance to develop a Jaguar following. Not an NFL following, but a Jaguar following year in and year out, and that's what we're most excited about.
And part of developing that following is to get the stars in front of the fans over there, which is the players. I mean, they are the stars of the game. Has there been any talk about scheduling as far as being able to promote, to market that game the week of that game to allow the excitement to build?
Well, not just the week of. I mean, we started that process right when we announced our game
over
there.
With the players, because I mean, some former players have been over there, Fred Taylor, Mark Brunell, from what I understand. But the week of, will you be able to have the team go out early? I mean, some teams have taken different approaches where they fly in like on a Friday and play a game and they're gone.
Yeah, so you know, we have a couple new guys on the football side that I haven't had a chance to break this down with them on, but we do know that's a goal of ours. Not just for our fans who are traveling, but to generate new fans over there and get them to follow us. What's the best way? You meet a player, you develop a following and a liking to those specific players, and then you're hooked forever. And that's going to be our goal there. But we've got some time to work out those details, and we haven't worked out our travel plans yet.
Because football's going to go obviously, Dave and Gus are going to have some, I'm sure, part of the conversation with that. But I agree. If you're going to go every year, get out there for the whole week and build the fan base, build the brand, build the
more fans you get over there, the more
the
excitement. They come over here.
Absolutely. And vice versa, fans that go over from Jacksonville to be a part of a week-long festivity. Obviously, you have to win the game. I mean, we're here to win football games. But I think you can accomplish both.
Yeah, I think the league has already made accommodations for some of those things that we'll need, and Dave and Gus will really be driving that direction for us. And then we'll send all of our other marketing resources and other things that we can to support them.
Is there a thought that maybe you'll bring some of that London fan group over here for a game at some point?
There's
and build an event around that?
There's definitely talk. We know that there's other events in this Jacksonville market that they're very supportive of. You know, the Players Golf Championship here in town, and there's a lot of other travel initiatives that we can do. So it's opened up a way for us to market to a new audience to say, hey, here's the dates the Jaguars are playing at Everbank Field. Why don't you coming out for a great game, enjoy the weather and all that Jacksonville has to
offer? Well, you already said there's a fan club already formed. I think, what, about 3,000 members, Union Jacks?
Yep.
And boy, it'd be fun to get those guys out here and enjoy a game here in the United States, right here in Jackson.
Yeah, so we'll be launching that whole Union Jacks brand here pretty shortly, and with a goal of well over 10,000 members, and they're off
exciting.
To a great start.
Yeah,
so yeah, these are going to be people that are engaged in everything we do, and will be big ambassadors for us.
And it's a completely different model for an NFL team going over there. No one else has done it this way, and it gives you the freedom to really create and do things that no one has even contemplated.
Well, and I know they already. I did an interview over there. There's a weekly podcast just for the Jaguars. I mean, two Brits that talk football, and are I was surprised, pleasantly surprised how
Nick Holling is doing that.
Well, they're very educated. Oh, yeah, they know the game.
They
are very smart. They're football savvy, and I know they are really promoting not just the NFL but promoting Jacksonville and the Jaguars. And I think it's a great. I think it's a win-win. I mean,
yeah, there'll be a lot of enhanced coverage of the Jaguars throughout the season leading in, you know, game broadcasts, everything else. There'll be some other ancillary programming that we're already talking about, which will be really exciting to our fans to get a kind of behind-the-scenes look of what we're doing to go over there. So they're really putting a lot of resource behind it.
All right, Chad, good luck. I know you're in a whirlwind here for the next couple of months. Congratulations on the promotion, and we look forward to seeing and hearing from you more often.
Thank you. I'll see all of our fans at the forums around the community.
Jaguars.com. They find out everything they need to know about pre-registering.
Correct. Yep, Jaguars.com.
All right. Joe?
All right, guys. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Check them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Final segment, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, fans, this portion of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by our friends at Fanatics.com.
All right, one more segment to your Jaguars This Week. Thanks again to Chad Johnson and also John Osher for joining us this evening. Next Wednesday night, we'll obviously have plenty to talk about. How much of the combine will you watch?
Bits and pieces of it. You know, I think for me, what I like to watch is when they kind of summarize the day's events. So I'll turn on, was it NFL Game Day or right. NFL Today with their evening program, and I'll watch some of the highlights and maybe watch a little bit of the stuff. But, you know, to me, the best part of the combine is when they run the 40s for the skill position guys, because, I mean, that is making money. If running backs, wide receivers, defensive backs, even linebackers run good times in the 40, that can really change the game for them as far as draft status goes. Now, the offensive linemen, I mean, it makes some difference, but it's the 20-yard, the shuttle thing that they go around, the four-cone drill,
right.
The strength test. Those are the things I think that are important there.
Well, the reason I ask is because, I mean, the ratings for this combine have been good, surprisingly good, when people watch.
I don't watch it.
I never have.
I mean, let me preface that. It's on during the day.
Right.
I'm not watching anything during the day.
Sure, you're not in front of the television.
I'm not in front of the television. Now, I'm more like Jeff. When I get home at night, I'll turn on the NFL Network and check things out and hear the talking heads and give a review. And maybe they show highlights and stuff like that. But I know a lot of people that sit down.
Oh, they love it.
It's appointment TV. I just don't watch TV during the day, so.
You know, I think people would be surprised to learn just how much a team's draft board is done before they go up to the combine.
Yeah, as far as grades go, and then there's always a little bit of tweaking. But, you know, the most important thing about the combine is not what you watch. You know, it's what you can't see. They have the physical, which is extremely thorough, and you have multiple stations where they have, you know, I think 4 to 6 teams at each station, and they check every single joint
it's
on your
miserable.
Body. And you're obviously shuffled in and out of medical facilities for different types of testing. But then also you have the Wunderlich test. And then I guess the NFL is instituting another aptitude test, which I guess is a little different. So, you know, you don't hear a whole lot about those
and the interviews.
Tests. And the interviews are extremely important, and there's nothing quite formal about, at least that it wasn't anything that used to be very formal about it. I'm sure it's become more formalized over the recent years, but, you know, I remember the combine very well, and it's an interesting week in Indianapolis, I can tell you that.
You didn't like it so much?
I hated the physical. I mean, I felt great before the physical. By the end of it,
yeah, they kind of bent some joints.
Everything hurt.
You know, they don't feel so good. You know, you almost wish that you could do the physical aspect of it before you did the physical, because they do. You know, you've got flexibility testing, and then they're bending all the different joints. And if you've had any injury whatsoever to any particular
they just
joint,
dig into it.
I mean, they're working it now. I mean, they're testing it to the max. You know, this is a one look at you, and obviously a doctor wants to make sure that he gets every detail covered, because if he doesn't, it's his rear end.
All right, so from your perspective, if the board is 75 to 90% done, which I've been told it is, not by David Caldwell, but in general, teams go up there with the board in really good shape. How important is the time after the combine, these on-campus workouts?
Oh, I think it's critical.
Or would you move the draft up and put free agency after the draft?
I think the best thing to do, and I know there's some talk about it because they have the regional combines, is to move the NFL, the big combine, a little bit later on in the calendar, a little bit closer to the draft, maybe into March at some point, and then they would have the regional combines, and then that would lead to the main combine, and some guys may get invited to the big combine from the regional combines. And
right.
So, and
but those pro days are important.
The pro days are extremely important, and also the pro days are important not just from the aspect of the physical testing, but at the combine setting, a lot of the guys that sit down and go to interviews, it's not a very relaxed atmosphere. I would rather conduct an interview with a player and get to know him kind of on his own turf in a less formalized setting, to where he knows and he's prepared for that particular sit-down. I'd want to just kind of show up at the coach's office on, you know, a couple different days and want to talk with them, and where they're not quite as prepared.
I'm just curious how much, you know, when this combine is over, there's still 2 months to go before the actual draft.
It's two things, and I say the pro days are critical because a lot of guys don't do everything at the combine,
and a lot of guys don't get invited to the combine.
A lot of guys don't get invited to the combine. They don't do everything for a myriad of reasons. Sometimes because they're hurt.
Well, your guy at SC, Barkley's not going
to
throw.
He has a bad shoulder still, so he has to wait. Now, the pro day was not that important for me. I did everything at the combine. I remember the scouts coming saying, "You don't need to do anything. We already seen you." Now, where those do get important even for somebody who does everything, is if you're on the radar, teams will send their assistant coaches or even their head coach to work you out through position-specific drills.
Which can be, back in the day, they didn't have anything like pro days. They just didn't have it. You know, so you would do the combine, and then you would be on campus, and one of your secretaries from the football office would call you up and say, hey, the New York Jets or the Dallas Cowboys are going to be in on this week, Wednesday, Thursday, would like to work you out, and you'd go do it. You know?
Yeah, because I remember
– over and over and over.
One day, I
think I had like 8 different individual workouts with teams, and there was nothing structured or formal to it, whereas I think it's become a little bit more formal.
Well, I remember besides the pro day – another day was scheduled where the Jaguars, the Bengals, and the Redskins were all there, and they all worked me out. All 3 offensive line coaches were there, and I think 2 of the head coaches were there. And then Tom took me out to dinner that night. But it was a
Tom, did he buy?
He bought.
Well, he didn't buy.
It was Tom.
Mr. Weaver did.
It was Tom, Rick Reaperish, myself, and my then-fiance, Angie, at dinner. Mays had gone back home. But it was each offensive line coach did drills they wanted to see me do. And it was probably a 45-minute, pretty extensive workout, taking you through all kinds of different things.
I think I had 3 individual workouts with the Jets, and I had 2 with the Cowboys. I mean, that's how it was. I mean, if they showed up, you went and did whatever they asked you to do.
Well, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger every year, the combine.
Well, it's a bigger business now than ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Money's bigger.
Don't you know it? Thanks so much for your time, and thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you next Wednesday night here on Jaguars This Week.